The Christian Compromise: Thoughts on the Christian Response to a Common Word Between Us and You. As members of the body of Christ, whom God has called through His Son Jesus Christ to be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are greatly disturbed by the Christian Response to a Common Word Between Us and You, produced by the Yale Center for Faith and Culture, and signed by hundreds of people professing to be followers of Jesus Christ. They claim to be speaking on behalf of all Christians throughout the world, but this is not true. There are many who wish to speak the truth in love about the relationship between Christians and Muslims, but who are not willing to compromise on the holiness of God, the sufficiency of His Word, the mission of the Church, and the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. We are not sure brevity is in order for an adequate response, but to do so, we will consider four things about this subject. First, sometimes, even in Christian love, we must exercise the same tactic that Paul used in confronting Peter in Galatians 2:11-16, if they are to be restored. While 300 or so names of professing Christian men, women, churches, and organizations may be impressive to some, we are grateful for the hundreds of thousands of others on every continent of the world who have not signed to endorse the response or bowed their knee to Baal. The signatories are not only to be pitied, they must be earnestly prayed for, or else they will continue to face strong delusion that they should believe a lie. It may be easier for some to be great theologians than to be simple saints. It is always wise to remember that Islam does not differentiate between professing nominal Christians and genuine Christians who have been blood-washed and grace forgiven. Professing Christianity does not make one a Christian, any more than professing to be a brain surgeon makes one a brain surgeon. We do not wish to be included in their Christian compromise, because to do so would be loving the praise of men more than the praise of God. Second, while people of different faiths may coexist and be at peace with one another, the faiths themselves cannot. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? In the very first part of the response, there is a brief reference to the Crusades. Any fundamental Christian or student of church and world history knows that the Crusades had no more biblical foundation than Darwin's theory. Maybe the curse of political correctness forbids us from bringing up the 450 years of Islamic violence prior to the Crusades: robbery, rape, imprisonment, torture, and murder all preceded the Crusades during that period. Even the Hadith says that the first bloodshed was by Muslims in the propagation of subduing their neighbors and opponents. At least the Hadiths of Muslim, Ishaq, Tabari, and Bukhari are more truthful than the Muslim clerics of today. Their motives and methods are well documented therein. Throughout history, Islam has not been a peaceful religion. When we read in the Quran that Muslims are not to befriend Christians or Jews, and that no treaty is binding when made between them, what are we supposed to think if Muhammad's recitals are still valid today? We do not want Muslims to remain Muslims. If they remain Muslims, they will remain dead in trespasses and sins. We want them to come to Jesus Christ, who came so that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. We do not just want to be at peace with Muslims, we want the Muslims to be at peace with God. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Any other message from a Christian to a Muslim is compromise. Third, Where do we get the idea that Christians and Muslims worship the same God? The writers of the response made this great error when they asked forgiveness of the All-Merciful One, using the same title found in a common word for Allah. There is a general assumption that Muslims and Christians, and all other religions for that matter, worship the same God, and that He is only referenced by different names and worshipped in different ways. Nothing could be further from the truth, and Satan, the father of lies, has done a marvelous job with this grand deception. Christians need to know that there is only one God, the God of the Jewish and Christian scriptures. Any attempt to identify other gods, including Allah, with the one true God is compromise. Islam, translating from Arabic to English, states in its Shahada that there is no God, Ilah, but God, Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of God, Allah. Reading this in English, it often leaves the non-Muslim reader to read God and not Allah, which is the Arabic name of their God. Recently in California, a Muslim cleric was asked directly, "Is the God of the Quran the same as Jehovah in the Bible?" His answer was an emphatic no. At least this cleric, maybe unwittingly, was more truthful than many of his contemporaries. Allah is the Arabic name for their Muslim God, which was taken from the heathen god of Mecca's Kaaba before the advent of Islam in 610 AD. The true God is first mentioned in the English Bible in Genesis 1:1. In the Hebrew, God is pronounced Elohim. Elohim is a plural Hebrew noun. We have never seen this issue dealt with in any Islamic scholar's work or translation. Elohim is and has been an enigma to the Jews as well as others when meditated upon, and the answer is only to be found in the New Testament as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is defined in Christianity as the doctrine of the Trinity, which is totally rejected by Islam. The Bible teaches that the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Are the Christian signers showing love for the Lord when they ask forgiveness from Allah? Are the Christian signers showing love for the lost Muslims when they give their recognition to Allah? It is a compromise unless we share with lost Muslims that this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Fourth, we have already established that Christians and Muslims do not worship the same God. Even the revealed character of Allah in the Quran and Jehovah in the Bible are so antithetical, we find their unity impossible to accept. But the greatest question we must pose to Muslims is, what think ye of Christ? The answer they give is crucial, for their eternal souls are at stake. The Bible clearly tells us we cannot love God, Jehovah, the Father, unless we love the Son, Jesus Christ. Islam, the Quran, the Hadith, and the Gospel of Barnabas all deny the sonship and deity of Jesus Christ. Allah was and is incapable of doing the same feats as the Jehovah God of the Bible, found in Philippians 2:5-11. Even the Jews knew what Jesus meant when he said he is I am. Denying the deity and sonship of Christ by Islam is followed by the further denial of his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. Even M.M. Ali saw these as the great foundation of the Christian faith in his work, Religion of Islam. To not preach and point Muslims to Jesus Christ is compromise, because there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Conclusion. The relationship between Christians and Muslims is not to find common ground or for religious peace, world peace. The relationship ought to be one of real love, wanting and pursuing the absolute eternal best for them. To compromise the truth is not speaking the truth in love. Love is so absent in Islam, as is tolerance. The events in the world today are the greatest existing proofs. No Muslim nation today allows freedom of religion, even though the Quran says there shall be no compulsion in religion. It is interesting to note that nearly every country represented by the Islamic signers of a common word, except those in the West, either discourages, prohibits, controls, or persecutes Christians and any evangelistic efforts to the point of imprisonment and even death. Try starting a Christian church in Midtown Mecca, Jeddah, or Medina, or any other major city in Islamic states. We find it difficult to believe Islam could thrive, let alone exist, if the factors of intimidation, real fear, and persecution were to be removed that accompany the convert in any Islamic nation. There is a vast difference in the love expounded in the Quran and Hadith and in the Bible. As Christians, we shall continue to love Muslims as the Bible tells us. We shall pray for their souls. We shall attempt to overcome evil with good. And those that trust Christ shall vindicate us in those days of judgment. We shall unreservedly tell them of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what it means to live by faith, and the futility of works to redeem anyone's soul. For this, we cannot and we will not compromise. For the complete text of The Christian Compromise, please visit www.growatgrace.org.